I'm John Batchel with my colleague, Bruce Batchel. He is a professor at Angelo State University. Most importantly, he's the author of Rogue Allies, the strategic partnership between Iran and North Korea. It's recommended that you consult this book because it has elaborate explanations for what we now see in war fighting. Iran has friends, and one of those friends works for cash, and that's Pyongyang, North Korea. Cash talks in North Korea. Bruce, we've talked about the Musudan missile and what it can carry. A nuclear warhead would be another choice for a North Korea in the event of. To your knowledge at this point, you've very carefully instructed me over 20 years that North Korea had, at the second test for their nuclear weapon and the third test, Iranian observers. To your knowledge, does Iran possess a nuclear weapon given to it or sold to it by North Korea?
Well, that's a very good question, John, and that's actually probably the question when you're asking about the proliferation. Our government and most of the NATO governments have, and UN has the capability to trace a weapon's origination if it's detonated, a nuclear weapon. So North Korea is unlikely to actually give or sell the Iranians a complete nuclear weapon. That said, there's nothing to prevent them from providing technological expertise, advice, and of course, proliferation of needed materials, computer programs, et cetera, that would aid Iran in building its nuclear weaponization program. There are many anecdotal reports that point out that North Korea has done this. Not a lot of them in the past 15 or 20 years, not a lot. But one thing that we know for sure is that those highly enriched uranium centrifuge facilities at Natanz and Isfahan were built with the support of North Korean engineers. So at the very least, they have done that. What they have done is provided the Iranians with the platforms to carry those nuclear weapons. And you referred to one of them frequently in our last segment. That's the Musudan missile. Now, the primary warhead for the Musudan is a 500-kilogram warhead. They've been firing a Musudan at a shorter range. They called it the Karamshar, with a warhead about four times that size. That's an HE warhead. But as you've probably heard me talk about in the past, and it's written about in my books, is the very first nuclear warhead we assess that North Korea had was a 500-kilogram warhead, exactly the size of the normal warhead the Musudan carries. They got the designs for that warhead from Pakistan during the AQ Khan proliferation bazaar that was going on in the 90s and early 2000s. The Pakistanis not only proliferated those designs to North Korea, they also proliferated those designs to Libya. We know this. This is not a guess. We know this because when they turned over, the Libyans, all of their nuclear weapons development to the Brits in the early 2000s, the Brits shared that with us. And it showed that Libya, Iran, and North Korea had the designs for a 500-kilogram nuclear weapon. There's only two things that the North Koreans had back then, and really now, that they would put a 500-kilogram nuclear weapon on. One is called the Nodong. Obviously, that's also a missile that can carry a 500-kilogram weapon. Pakistan has those. They can put a 500-kilogram warhead on the Nodong they bought from the Nodongs they bought from North Korea and shoot them in India, right? That's where they would want them. The North Koreans could put that on something that has a longer range, like the Musudan. 4,000 kilometers puts the Musudan in range of Guam, which, by the way, has the best beach bars in the Western Pacific. I know this. I've been there. And for the Iranians, it gives them a nuclear warhead they could put on their version of the Musudan called the Karamshar and fire at all of Europe or at Diego Garcia, as we saw.
From nuclear warheads to drones, to your knowledge, is North Korea selling drones to Iran, or is it manufacturing drones for Iran?
It's not. This is an anomalous situation, actually. For the first time ever that I know of, Iran actually came up with its own design and came up with these, what turned out to be very, very deadly drones. Drones that have what's essentially, what sounds like a lawnmower engine in them, as people have described to me. They have also been so successful with those drones, they've sold thousands and thousands of them to Russia, which has used them successfully against Ukraine. North Korean troops are obviously deployed in Russia. The North Koreans liked it so much that now the Russians have built a Shahed factory in North Korea. So the North Koreans have the same drone. And yes, we've copied it too. And now we have some versions as well, us being the United States. So yes, that is the one thing that I know of ever that Iran can actually say they indigenously created. And it's actually kind of clever.
Supply chain. How does North Korea resupply Iran? Before the war, it was shipping or shipping and rail? How did it work before the war?
For Iran, that was maritime shipping. Mostly North Korean ships that were reflagged under the flags of other nations, largely African nations. Sometimes Iranian cargo ships, but mostly North Korean cargo ships were taking that stuff to Iran directly from the west coast of North Korea to ports in Iran. Something, again, that has been going on literally since the first cargo ship from North Korea brought in Scud Bees in 1983. So 43 years this has been going on, and we have rarely used PSI or any other means to try and interdict it.
During the war, given that the fleet is arrayed around Iran, how would you resupply Iran overland? What would that look like overland?
Well, to my knowledge, the North Korea, I've seen nothing about them resupplying Iran at all. And they didn't resupply Iran during the 12-day war. I know that for sure. Last year, during June of last year. So supplies may have stopped. The only way that I know of that they could get supplies in there is if they went in overland from the east. And that would be very, very dangerous because they would be obviously vulnerable to Israeli and American aircraft attack. And certainly the Israelis would go after those shipments if they knew they were coming in.
There's a rail line from Vladivostok to east. Would they use that? Has Russia ever lent that rail line to North Korea resupply of either Russia or Iran?
Yes, there's a rail line that essentially runs from the port at Dunai, which is a port just south of Vladivostok, that runs west all the way to the Ukrainian battlefield. And North Korea has been supplied literally 30,000 containers in the past 3 years across that rail line. Can you imagine how much that is? For those of us like you and I, John, who ever had to sit and wait for a train at a stop sign, we know how much that is. But essentially, if they were to get that those kind of supplies to Iran, they would have to run them west to Russia, then go by sea on container ship through the Caspian Sea down into Iran. And then if they were to do that, once again, they would become very susceptible to attack from the air by the Israelis.
Rogue Allies, the strategic partnership between Iran and North Korea. Bruce Batkel is the author. I'm John Batchelor.